Welcome to The Weight of Their Souls, the podcast edition. My name is Debbie Fredericks, and this is episode number 6 of 7. If you want to make a comment or find out more about me, I'll tell you how at the end of this podcast. In episode 5, Scala led the travelers to a way station where they planned how to capture Vingrel. But Scala woke during the night to find that Urzel was missing. And now episode 6 of The Weight of Their Souls. What are we up against? Mordecai strung his bow with a practiced jerk. Yeah, Malachi said, shrugging a quiver of arrows over his shoulder. What's a... Jeremy interrupted with a loud bang as she snatched up her shield and it knocked against the fireplace. Malachi glanced that way and mumbled, what's it look like? I swallowed again, trying to think past my fear. I managed. A big man, like Vingrel, but all his fat was muscle and his face was... I paused, seeking words to describe the depth of perversion I'd seen on the creature's face. Like a beast. Huh, Malachi smirked. Well, if it's that ugly, we'll have to shoot it twice. He elbowed his brother, and the two of them guffawed. Leave off, I hissed. He'll hear you. We gathered in the doorway, and Malachi drawled with casual disdain. What is it with you, Ravenbeard? We're facing this unholy thing, and you say you won't stand with us. Why? Brother... Mordecai said sternly. Leave it. We don't have time for this. The way I see it, we aren't the ones short on time. It's between me and my mates, I answered. Malachi crossed his arms stubbornly. Funny, I don't see any of them here. I wanted to punch him, or maybe throw up. That's right, I said through gritted teeth. You don't. We fought the Wyvern on Vonra Field. What did you do? Of course, I didn't tell them it was Tithus who slew the monster, or that the Wyvern in its dying had fallen on me and knocked me senseless. Trapped beneath the lifeless hulk, I'd been protected from the holocaust that followed. In time I emerged, unscathed but useless to my brothers when they needed me most. Mordecai stared at me. Gods, I saw that thing! But his brother retorted, I shot about 100 goblins, and you don't see me hiding behind the ladies. Brother, shut up! Mordecai grabbed at his shoulder. We've got to get after them. This is taking too long. To me, he said, not without sympathy, watch the horses, will you? We might still need them. His charity pricked at my pride more than any of Malachi's barbs. I found myself snarling, too. I didn't say I wouldn't come. I just said I don't know how much help I'll be. I stalked over to my bedroll and snatched up my sword. Malachi jerked away from his brother, grumbling, how do we find them anyway? Look for the darkest place, Jeremy said. We all turned at the harsh growl of her voice. The face I saw as she slammed down her visor was set and cold. The oath-bound knight set straight out, waiting for none of us. She strode as if she knew exactly where she was going. Well, she'd been closest to Vingrel, she might have some way of finding him. The brothers swiftly followed, and I jogged after, buckling my sword belt as I went. Experience had taught me that following women in the dark was never a good idea, and yet here I was doing it again. I felt weak in my knees, and that sour taste was back in my mouth. It was the same feeling I'd had years ago, when I was green as a cucumber and heading into my first skirmish. Gods, I'd seen action dozens of times since then. I shouldn't be shaking in my boots over this. The night was black as pitch, and I followed the others more by sound than by sight. We headed up the slope into the rocks. It was a rough trail, climbing over natural stone steps and scrambling up screes of loose rock. Every few paces I stopped, listening for the heavy breathing I'd heard the night before. Only the rattle of armor and the shuffle of boots reached my ears. We came to a level area, and the footfalls before me halted. Even before that, I could feel the oppressive weight of air that seemed to bear me downward. Swallowing against the fear in my throat, I slunk aside, feeling with my left hand for the rock wall that should be there. I couldn't find it, but I did see a glint of metal in the gloom before me. Just in time, I turned my head. Jeremy drew her sword with a hiss of steel, and its light through my eyelids turned the night from pitch to blood. Her hollow voice rang in her helm, Fiend, I have come to destroy you! Vingrel laughed in return, a grease-on-gravel chuckle that made my skin creep. Near me, one of the brothers cursed softly. Shading my face with my hand, I blinked to clear my vision. We were on a rounded hillside with a rocky crown. To the right, where we'd climbed up, was a sheer drop. To my left were the stony pillars. Vingrel was right in the open. His size shocked me. Somehow I'd managed to forget how brawny he was. He still wore the leer that made his whole face seem crooked, and his full manhood was on display as he crouched over Urzel. The witch lay slack, head thrown back, eyes closed, panting. She was still fully dressed, and his hands were busy beneath her kirtle. Her gritted teeth and inward expression told me that she was fighting his power over her body with all the strength she had, and that she was losing the battle. "Do not mock me!" The oath-bound knight gripped her blade with both hands, and it blazed still brighter, yet it seemed to me the weapon trembled in her grip. "You shall pay for your evil deeds, defiler!" "Fan out!" I hissed to the brothers, and I ran in a crouch toward the cover of the rocks. If Jeremy wanted first crack at the demon, that was fine with me, but I didn't think we could count on her to finish him. With a ringing cry, she charged. Vingrel straightened to meet the blow. Grinning, he sidestepped the overhand strike with an agility I wouldn't have looked for in such a big fellow, then slipped back to catch her about the waist. The lady warrior stopped with a crash of armor, as if she'd struck a wall. It must have been a hard armload, but it seemed no trouble to Vingrel's strength. Jeremy twisted, trying to strike at her foe, but he was inside her reach. "Unhand me," she cried in a brittle voice. Almost tenderly, Vingrel raised her visor and smiled into her face. "I've been waiting for you," he crooned, as if it were just the two of them alone in the alley behind a bar. The battle maid struggled still. "Release me, vile thing!" "Oh, it's far too late for that," he gloated. I watched with fascinated revulsion as he drew her to him for a forceful kiss. Bran's radiance began to flicker erratically. At Vingrel's feet I saw Ertzel's hand outflung on the ground, scratch into the dirt. My heart pounded in my ears. I should have done something to help either of them. Gods, I wanted to, but I was transfixed, too horrified to move. The two brothers were not so hobbled. In the silence I heard the snap of their bows and saw arrows fly at the demon's back. He was well occupied, for a moment I hoped. But Vingrel merely waved, and the missiles flashed off some unseen barrier. Curses came muffled from a hiding place in the rocks. When the monster released her, Jeremy sank to her knees before him. Lovingly, he caressed her sword arm. "You don't need that." The woman who had sworn her life to her sword tossed it aside without a moment's hesitation. It came spinning toward me. As it struck the ground, its light began to die away. Still, I stood paralyzed, cursing myself and my worthless presence. More shots came from the rocks, but in a different place. The brothers were battle-wise enough to keep moving. Vingrel flicked at the air as if the arrows were bothersome gnats. Then his hand rested on Jeremy's armored shoulder. "Be rid of them," he said, with a loathsome relish. "Then return to me, my beauty." The oath-bound knight rose, drawing a long knife from her belt, and strode purposefully toward the rocky spine of the hill. I thought for a moment I really would throw up. Had Vingrel forgotten me? Perhaps I was too inconsequential to worry about. I fought to keep my place, though my knees trembled with the urge to flee. While Vingrel made Jeremy into his pawn, Ertzel had begun to crawl off. The demon stopped her with the flat of his hand on her back. I heard her gasp as he knelt beside her. "Oh, pray do not leave me," he mocked. Ertzel whimpered as he ran his hand up her leg beneath her skirt. "It is you I want most of all, for witches make the most delicious of thralls." My terror fell away quite suddenly as the man-monster turned away from me. It was as if an iron helm had been lifted from my head. Before I could think better of it, I drew my sword and charged. I gave no cry, for I didn't want to betray myself, but that was in vain. As with the arrows, Vingrel seemed to know I was coming. He grinned the grin of a cat that is about to eat well. "Oh, there you are," he jeered. "I was beginning to think you'd abandoned them." As his soulless eyes confronted me, my bravery deserted me. Oh, I tried. I didn't make it easy for him, as Jeremy had, but within a moment he caught my sword arm. "Fuh," Vingrel sneered. He shook me as if I was a kitten. My sword tumbled from my hand. Only my metal bracer saved my arm from breaking. Beneath us I heard Ertzel's trembling voice. It was the same words she'd spoken the night before that seemed to hurt Vingrel so. The creature glanced downward, a fleeting concern further twisting his features. Then his fist came up to my face, and I was sent bowling over the ground to fetch up against the stony palisade. You've been listening to The Weight of Their Souls, the podcast edition, read by the author, Debbie Fredericks. If you have any questions or want to make a comment, I'd love to hear from you. Just leave feedback on my blog, Wyrmflight. That's wyrmflight.wordpress.com. I'll do my best to respond to everyone. To find out more about me, you can visit my website, debbyfredericks.com. That's debbyfredericks.com. I have all sorts of details about my fantasy novels and my children's writing, so please check it out. The music for this podcast was composed and performed by Dexter Britton. It's made available under a Creative Commons license through freemusicarchive.org. All the rest of the production was handled by me, Debbie Fredericks. If there's any kind of problem, it's my fault, but please be nice when you tell me. Both the podcast and the novelette text are copyrighted 2013 by Debbie Fredericks. This concludes episode 6 of The Weight of Their Souls, podcast edition. Thanks for listening.